it done it for us. For example, Srila Prabhupada and all the predecessor teachers, they analyzed the Vedas and they've given us this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In different yugas, in different ages, different processes of self-realization have been recommended. Krite yad dhyayato Vishnum, tretayam yajito makai, dvapare paricharyayam kalau tad hari kirtana. In the golden age, people used to go to forests and meditate for thousands of years. It's true, in those days, people lived for a long lifespan. And lifespan has been diminished. And Treta Yuga, people in the Silver Age, people would perform elaborate fire sacrifices. Just like, I don't know if many of you saw, we had just recently fire sacrifice. And in the Copper Age, people used to build very beautiful temples and worship the deities, very elaborate. But in this day and age we're living, none of the above is possible or practical. Because we don't have time to go to the forest and meditate. Who's got the time or peace of mind to meditate on anything? Everybody is full of anxiety. And to chant and do fire sacrifice, you need actually qualified Brahmins or priestly class of men, which is very rare to find in this day and age. Everybody smokes cigarettes and, you know, chewing pan, and you don't even get good ghee. It's all like vegetable oil nowadays. And they fall asleep as they're chanting their mantras. So you don't even get good brahmanas. And whatever was possible in the Silver Age, namely the deity worship, is also not possible now. We see in India, they actually pay the priests to come and do the worship. They actually pay them salary. And as soon as you have deities and jewelry, so many thieves come and there's so many politics, so many reasons. But in Kali Yuga, Kalau Tad Hari Kirtan. Hari Kirtan means chanting the names of Krishna or Hari is actually the easiest process of self-realization. And just by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we get the benefit of going to the forest and meditating for thousands of years, performing fire sacrifices and doing deity worship. We get all these benefits. And this is actually the most practical process in this day and age. Otherwise, in all religions, there's so much going on in the name of religion. Even in Hinduism, people are absorbed in so many things except the essence, which is to fall in love with God. 500 years ago, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, this story actually happened. There was this person, his name was Subhudi Roy. And Subhudi Roy, he actually was from a Brahmin family. And he was actually a king. He used to rule a big portion of land. And under him, there was this little kid, Muslim kid, was working under Subhudi Roy. And this kid made a mistake one time. So Subhudi Roy, to correct him, like a father, he beat him with a stick in the back. And later on, Subhudi Roy retired and this Muslim kid became the king. And this Muslim king, his name was Nawab Hussein Shah. And the wife of the Hussein Shah saw this marking in the back and asked him, "My dear husband, what happened? Why is this mark?" And this Hussein Shah said, "When I was young, you know, I used to work under this Hindu king and one time he beat me." And the wife, being so foolish, she said, "Oh, we have to do something about this. Now you're a king, let's kill him." And Hussein Shah was shocked to, you know, hear this decision from the wife. You know, you cannot say no sometimes. But so he was like caught in between a rock and a hard place. And he was saying, I can't do that. And it was just like a father. He did so much for me. The wife said, do something. Do something to minimize his position. And foolishly, in the Hinduism, they used to believe that if a Muslim sprinkles a little water on you from his cup, then you lost your caste. That was the belief, that was the tradition. So this Nawab Hussain Shah went to Subhadi Rai and sprinkled a little water on him. Oh, there was a big thing in the village and everyone was talking and nobody would want to deal with this Subhadi Rai anymore because they thought he lost his caste and he's become a Muslim. So they ostracized him. So Subhadi Rai actually didn't know what to do. So he actually was so embarrassed, he left home and traveled a long distance and went to Banaras, went to Kasi looking for shelter. And he approached some brahmanas, some priestly class of men, and explained to them his situation. He said, this is what has happened to me, can you give me advice? And one priest said, sure I can help you. I will boil some ghee. Like the ghee must be smoking. And then you come in the morning and you drink it. And that's the solution. And Subhadi Rai looked at him and said, basically you want me to die? And the priest said, yeah, you're smart. That's right. You have to die. That's the only way. In the next life, because you're dying, coming in contact with the pure substance, ghee, clarified butter, next life, again, you'll be elevated to a Hindu family you'll be born in. Subhadi Rai was wandering around, you know, he's like such a bad period, you know, astrologically he's like scratching his head. And he doesn't know what to do. So he came across Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he explained to him that, you know, this is my situation, what do I do? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh, very easy. Krishna is the supreme judge and he is the most merciful. So you take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, you'll be forgiven from all shortcomings. And Subhadi Rai was so relieved to hear that. He said, that's it? He said, yeah, that's it. So he became a disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he started chanting incessantly. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to go to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is where Krishna was born. It's a very holy place. And there Subhadi Rai was serving all the devotees that was coming and non-stop chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Prabhupada actually writes in the purport, many Bengalis, people from Calcutta and the neighborhood, Bengalis, they would come to Vrindavan, and when they see the chapatis, when they eat the chapatis offered in Vrindavan, they get stomachache because they only used to eating big amount of rice. So Subhadi Rai would make them rice, and Bengalis are so used to doing oil massage with mustard oil. So Subhadi Rai was providing them oil massage and feeding them with first class rice. So this way, whatever he thought was a big dilemma was solved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, chant Hare Krishna mantra, all good fortune to you. Another instance, there was another devotee. And this devotee was actually wanting to go and respond to the calls of nature. Namely, you know, you want to go to the toilet. And this devotee was holding on to his tongue. And then he was like struggling. And this little kid was seeing this priest holding on to his tongue and struggling. And this little kid asked the priest, what are you doing? And the devotee said, I have to go to the bathroom, but my tongue, I'm so used to chanting Hare Krishna, won't stop. And the Hare Krishna mantra is spiritual, I don't want to chant in the bathroom. And the tongue won't stop, so I really have to go, but I don't know what to do. So this little kid said, that's okay, just like the sun. When the sun is shining in a filthy place, the sun is not contaminated. The sun actually sanitizes and purifies the filthy place. Similarly, holy names of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. So you can chant in the bathroom, the holy name is not going to be affected. On the other hand, the kid said, what about if you had a heart attack in the bathroom and you were to die? Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever we think at the time of death, that's where we're going. So it's highly recommended that we mold our life and practice all our life to think of God all the time, so we will think of God at the time of death. So this little kid told him that, don't worry, go in the bathroom and chant. No problem. So Chaitanya was witnessing this exchange. And Chaitanya was so pleased with this little kid, he came and embraced the kid and said, your name from today is Gopal Guru. Because the devotee that was struggling, holding his tongue, his name was Gopal. And the little kid actually became his spiritual master, became his guru. So Chaitanya called him Gopal Guru. So in Krishna consciousness movement, everything culminates in chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually blessed this chanting by saying Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Just like a funnel, you have like a wide funnel, but whatever you pour, at the end it leads through that thin stem. Similarly, whatever you see in the Hare Krishna movement, in Krishna consciousness movement, which is nothing but the Vedic culture, essence of Vedic culture, is bringing us together and encouraging us to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And this chanting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, is Cheto Darpana Marjanam. It's actually the cleansing process for the soul. Just like we take shower to cleanse our body, to keep clean. Similarly, this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is actually the shower, literally, for the soul. And after we chant this Hare Krishna mantra, we actually start to see things as they are. Because when we are an illusion, we don't quite see things as they are. We are seeing in a abnormal way. Just like everybody, if you ask anyone who we are, people will generally respond, you know, I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm a black, I'm white, I'm rich, I'm poor, I'm American, I'm Indian, so on and so forth. But that's actually, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is Maya, is illusion. Because we are none of these things. We are actually spirit souls. And that spirit soul, many people, when they come to the conclusion, when they hear that we are spirit soul, then they think, oh, we are God. Many times you can go to like places like Santa Monica, downtown, Hollywood. People have yoga studios and they say that you are actually God. And it's very actually tempting for the ego, and people pay big bucks. Oh wow, finally somebody's recognized my real glory. They pay him hundreds and thousands of dollars. But it's not true. We are not God. We are spirit souls, part and parcel of God. You can say we are God in quality, but we're not God in quantity. Just like if you have a gold ring and you have the gold mine, it's true both of them are gold, but the gold ring and the gold mine are not the same. Similarly, we are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And our natural position is to serve Krishna. And as soon as we do that, we are happy. Just like the hand. If the hand picks up the food, puts it in the mouth, and the mouth chews, and when it goes in the stomach, the hand automatically gets energy. But if the hand thinks, I'm independently going to enjoy and start squeezing the food, it's just big mess. Don't try it in the dinner hall. It's just an example. Similarly, we being spirit souls, part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, when we connect with Krishna, when we serve Krishna, we immediately happy. Just like all of us, we feel something different about this place, right? That's because all we're doing is chanting. That's the way to connect with Krishna and serve Krishna. So Chetodarpana Marjana means cleansing of the mirror of the mind, cleansing for the soul. We start to see things as they are. And then we really know where to look for happiness. Otherwise, in Sanskrit it's called Anandamayo Vyasat. The nature of the soul is that the soul is eternally pleasure-seeking, because that's the position of God. And we being part and parcel of God, we also have that propensity, we have the tendency to search after pleasure. But the problem is, we're looking for pleasure in the wrong place, namely the material world. And innocently as we are searching pleasure, we are accumulating so much bad karma. Our pleasure-seeking propensity comes with a big price tag in the material world. And first of all, there is no pleasure available in the material energy. And in the pursuit, we are committing so much bad karma. Just like all of us, we may think we are nice. Of course, everybody is nice. But just by driving our cars, we're getting bad karma. Because in the Middle East, so many people have been abused and killed so we can get the gasoline. And we're participating in that karma. When we're walking on the grass, it's a living entity. Small things like this, we are accumulating karma. But we are searching for pleasure. We're not against pleasure seeking. We're all into that. But we just encourage everyone to search for it in the right place. Just like if every one of us are determined to go to the desert in Arizona with a bucket to find water. It may look like there is water there, but it's just mirage. The more you run, the water also runs. It's just a resemblance of water. Similarly, there is only a reflection of happiness in this world, in the material energy. But the real happiness is available only in the spiritual energy. But when we are an illusion, we cannot see that. Therefore, we are doing so many horrible activities in the name of looking for pleasure. Like the scientists are saying, if you want to live like the North Americans, no offense, but you need 5 Earth planets. Because the resources are in debt. That's because somehow we are convinced our happiness is going to come from the earth, from the matter. iPod, iPad, you know, iPhone. I'm also using one, but in God's service. but if you just think that these things are going to make you happy, that's when we get in trouble. But Krishna consciousness or any genuine spirituality encourages us to look for happiness within, look for spiritual happiness. And just by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, we can actually come to understand these basic things. It's not a rocket science what we're discussing now, it's ABCD. If you're thinking 2 plus 2 is equal to 5, and based on that equation, you come up with so many mathematics, at the end it's all wrong. Similarly, if we are identifying ourselves with something we are not, we are spirit souls, but we are identifying ourselves with the temporary body and land and family, based on that we are doing so many activities, at the end we will never be satisfied. Nobody has ever done it. Nobody is able to do it now. Nobody can do it in the future. It's a science. So by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, we start to realize these things. It's a science. It works. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Stane stita srutigatam tanuvan manobir je prayaso jito ajito api taistri lokyam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that to come to Krishna consciousness, not everybody have to give up whatever you're doing and move into the temple as monks and nuns. It's not necessary. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is very, very practical. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, we can remain wherever we are and just add Krishna consciousness to your life. Just like if you have a checkbook, if you have a check with many zeros, and if you try to cash it, even if you put 100 zeros together, still a zero. But if you put a one in the front of the zeros, it becomes valuable. It becomes 1,000, million, 10 million. Similarly, our lives in one sense are big zeros, because no matter who we are, everything is temporary. Like we saw recently what happened in Japan. And that could happen to anyone. It's not like Japan is the only country that with bad karma. Everywhere it can happen, anywhere. One moment anything can change. So in that sense, material existence is like a big zero, but by adding spirituality to our lives, it becomes meaningful. It becomes complete. This is the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like if you give a surgical knife to a pickpocket, he's going to steal. And if you give a surgical knife to a doctor, we have our Dr. Nanda visiting us kindly from Apple Valley. He can tell us more about operation. So if you give a surgical knife to a surgeon, he can save somebody's life. So it's not, knife is not good or bad, it's how it's being employed. Similarly, there's nothing good or bad, but it's how it's being employed in this world. So Krishna consciousness basically means that engaging all the resources in the source of the owner of all the resources, namely Krishna. And by this simple activity, we can immediately become happy. We don't have to wait. Generally I see, people, general conception of happiness means, you know, to have a 5-bedroom house and in Beverly Hills and have a Porsche in your garage and playing golf. And people consider this like, okay, that means this person is happy. But if you see anybody who's doing that, they're at least 70 years old if they're still alive. So they worked all their life to get to that situation where your physical form don't even allow that enjoyment anymore. It's filled with pain. So that's actually like a horrible propaganda about happiness. But spiritual happiness, you can experience it right now if you're determined. You can just be feeling so happy just to sit on the floor. And we're just giving oral reception. That's what it is. Whoever we hear from, that's what we are. Whoever we associate with, that's what we are. If you put iron in the fridge, it becomes cold like ice. You put iron in the fire, it becomes red hot like fire. Similarly, if we mix with people, materialistic people, then our head's going to be filled with all kinds of dreams and visions, which doesn't exist. But if you mix with people that are simple, clean, charitable, happy, compassionate, God-loving, we're also going to become like them. It's not a primitive, it's not like an old school to be spiritual. This is actually the solution to all the problems. And more than ever, this world desperately needs young people taking up to the path of Krishna consciousness and sharing with others. Otherwise, the world is falling apart, literally. There's no species on earth that destroys their own habitat, like us, human beings. So this is a very, like in Chinese, they have a saying, may you live in interesting times. So we're definitely living in most interesting times. Which can also be good. Because if everything is going good, none of us will take our time to come to a church or a temple and bother to hear these things. When we have problems, it's good. In a sense that it forces us to think outside the box. Generally we think just within the box, right? I heard a joke when I was in Australia. Somebody was saying that three people got together, one American, one European, and one African. And they were talking, they had a meeting, and the topic was food shortage outside of America. That was the topic. So the African said, what it means, food. And the European said, what it means, shortage. And the American said, what it means, outside of America. So we all, like, you know, living in a, you know, in our own world. So we have to broaden our visions. And Krishna consciousness is a wonderful way to do that. And Krishna consciousness is all inclusive. We don't say here, if you don't come to Krishna or Chaitanya, you're going to burn in hell forever. We don't say that. Krishna is the Father. Krishna is Allah. Krishna is Buddha. Krishna is Yahweh. He is the God of Bible. He is the God of Gita. He is the God of Torah. And Krishna consciousness, just like when you go to a 7-Eleven or corner store, whatever is available there is available in a supermarket. Similarly, whatever is available outside in all the major teachings of the world is available in Krishna consciousness and much more. So here, we don't consider black, white, you know, Jewish, Christian, Hindu, rich, poor. We invite open doors, everybody come together and sing and chant the names of Krishna. This is the way to actually connect. This is actually the United Nations. Our teacher used to say, in New York, he saw the United Nations. It's called United Nations, but every year the flags were increasing. But in Krishna consciousness, you see, like, it's a real United Nation. You'll see African, American, Chinese, Japanese, Indian. Everybody come together and happily as one big family. We don't kill animals, but still we make so many wonderful preparations from vegetables and grains. And we're loving to each other and we sing and discuss the valuable realities of life. So we really appreciate all of you coming, and please don't leave without your personal copy of the Bhagavad Gita. And I would like to thank the devotees that actually sponsored some of the Bhagavad Gitas, because we needed like about 10 cases to give it to all the students, but I got like about 5 cases of sponsorship. Feel free if you want to cover the rest of the cases, we don't mind. So, Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Gaura Purnima Maha Mahotsav ki jai. Thank you for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions, then you feel free to approach any of the staff and ask questions. I'm sure the devotees will be happy to answer. Hare Krishna.